a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Thank you, Lord, for being God. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in our lives. We just want to say thank you, Lord. Had it not been for you on our side, where would we be, Lord? I am the potter. I am the clay. Yield and steal in thy mighty hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Oh, Lord, give me preaching power that I may proclaim the promises of you, Lord, to thy people. In Jesus' matchless precious name we pray. Amen. And thank God. From level A to officers and members of this church, Mount Olive Baptist Church, is just good for us to be here. And had it not been for the Lord on our side, we would not be here. And I'm just happy, tickle pink, to see all of the faces that I'm seeing this morning. And thank God that you came to share in the worship experience. I'd like to lift up a thought this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Book of Acts, the action of the apostles. Book that is written by Dr. Luke, written to his friend Theophilus, where he continues out of Luke's gospel to tell all that Jesus began both to teach and do until the day that he was taken up. Beginning at verse 12, and the word of the Lord said, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, or in prayer and petition, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. May God bless the reader and hearer of his divine word and the doer. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, neighbor, when the church prays, the power of God is prevail in our lives. When the church prays, I believe, and I don't have to be right, that one of the major reasons the church is not as effective as she ought to be in the home, in the community, all around, is because of a lack of prayer and faith of the saints of God. One writer say, if you want to see how popular the church is, notice who turn up on Sunday. He goes on to say, if you want to see how popular the pastor is, take note who show up on Sunday night. And pastors must not be too popular, because we have just about stopped having church on Sunday night. Say, but if you really want to know how popular Jesus is, take note who turn up on Wednesday night. Here in the text, 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 40 days after he had been crucified, buried, and in his resurrection, he gathers his disciples at the Mount of Olives, and he shares with them. In Matthew's gospel, he gives them the great commission: go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And here he gives them a commandment. He says to them that they was not to depart from Jerusalem, but they were to wait for the promise of the Father. They was to wait until they had been endured with power from up on high. They were to wait until the Holy Ghost had come upon them, and then they would be his witnesses, both to Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the utmost of the world. And after which, he ascended back to heaven. And there angels were there, and he asked the question, why ye men of Galilee gazing, just as he has departed, he shall return in like manner. So I come by to tell you that the Lord is on his way back. Yeah. Now I know the fellow said the other month that he was coming back the 21st of May. Amen. But the Bible says that even angels don't know that he's coming back. But now they have returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. That's why I love this church. So the Mount of Olives, that's Jesus' favorite praying place. Amen. He had many, many occasions that he was at the Mount of Olives. And I just believe he hangs around here a little bit. They have Sabbath day's journey. They have come back, and they have entered the upper room. Believe that was John Mark's mother's house. And the Bible says that they have continued, not on one accord, but with one accord, in prayer and supplication, they had continued. And what I like about it, they was inclusive and not exclusive. Well, the Bible says that they was praying with the women. Do your Bible say that? And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, they didn't believe that he was who he was until after his resurrection. Now the family of gathered. If you continue on, you'll see that it was 120 of them gathered together. I just believe if just a few of us would come together in prayer and continue in prayer with one mind, one faith, one hope, one love, we'll see some. There's power in the prayers of the righteous. In other words, there's power in the prayers of those that have a right relationship with God. Prayer is nothing more than communication between you and God. You talking to God and listening to God. It's not a monologue, but a dialogue with you speaking and listening to what God has to say. Oh, I just believe we see some things happening when the church goes in prayer. And if we want to see some changes in our lives, changes in the community, changes in the school system, changes in this nation, the church don't have to go to prayer. Here they are in the upper room in concerted prayer. They're all together in one place with one motive, one goal. And I believe that now, it does not say it in the text, but I believe that they had gotten their differences solved, resolved. Now, Peter had denied Jesus, and in Mark's gospel, he says to Mary and the others to go and tell the disciples and also Peter. So he has been reunited with the 11, because Judas had gone on to kill himself. But I believe that they had to resolve their differences because Matthew, the tax collector, is here. And I know it's somebody there that he had cheated. James and John, they were fishermen. That's not in the text now. James and John, they were fishermen, and they had to pay tax on the fish that they caught. And so, and the tax collector, they was in a category that was worse than sinners. For one day the Pharisees said he sits with sinners and publicans because of their way of doing business. But I believe that they had gotten their differences. Peter being there, and they know that Peter had denied Jesus for 3 times, but yet they're all together with one accord. There's something there. Because a lot of times the church cannot come together with one accord because we are holding on to some stuff that we ought to have gotten rid of a long time ago. Early church, they brought their frustration to God in prayer. They brought their true feelings in prayer to God. They brought their friends in prayer to God. They brought their failures in prayer to God. They were honest before God. That's what sincere prayer is being honest before God, is telling God the truth about your situation. He already know it, but he'd like to hear it from you sometimes. I believe that the church needs to go into sincere prayer. Well, when you look at this also now, they had 10 days and 10 nights of prayer. I don't know if they prayed 24 hours. How they done it, but they was in the upper room for 10 days. And the Bible said, the text says, that they continued. Did your Bible say that? With one accord in prayer. preached for about 10 minutes, and 3,000 souls came forth. Huh? Powerful prayer. There got to be some prayer before the preacher. There got to be some prayer before the singing. There got to be some prayer before the devotion. And I don't want to throw no mud on us because I was co-chairman of the Citywide Revival, but we had a revival. And the preachers preached about an hour and a half, day and night, and not a soul came forth. Something wrong with that picture. I'm reminded of Jonah, the disobedient preacher that didn't want to go and preach to the people in Nineveh, but went on anyhow. But yet he preached one sermon, and the whole city was converted, and he got mad with God. So I just believe that the church needs to go in prayer before we do anything if we're doing it for the Lord, because he got to empower us, he got to enable us, he got to equip us to do what needs to be done. Prayer moves God.
Yes.
Faith moves God.
Yes.
And God has declared in his word that his people ought to be people of prayer.
Yes.
Second Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. He's talking to the church, talking to the Israelites. If they would humble themselves, he's talking to us this morning. If we would humble ourselves, get down off our high horses, we would humble ourselves before the Lord. Pray and seek God's face.
Yes.
The early church was a prayer-conscious church.
Mm-hmm.
But the church today seemed to be a pleasure-conscious church.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, we like pleasure. We want to be entertained. We want to be made to feel good, but you ought to plan your own happiness. Word is to empower you. The word is to enable you. The word is to equip you to go out there and seek others and bring them to Jesus.
Yes.
Or not have to, as I hear preachers say, lights? Amen. If the Lord have done anything for you, walls? Amen. If the Lord have done anything for you, the Lord woke you up this morning. The Lord is closing your right mind. Nobody have to entice you to say amen or what have you. I'm reminded that one writer says that God is not waiting for the world to turn to him in repentance. He's not waiting for leaders in government to seek his face. He's waiting for the church to get down on her knees. He's waiting for the church to start praying. He's waiting for the church to seek his face. He's waiting for the church. We want to make a difference. Church got to go in prayer. And I remember a while back, a few years back, there was problems with the school board. Not that we don't have problems with the school board now. But there were some things that they wanted to do that was going to hurt us, our people. And at that time, Brother Dixon was on the school board. And he asked if the pastors in the community, ministers in the community would be present at that school board meeting. You don't have to say anything. I just want you to be present. Because I just believe that if the men of God is present, that's going to be a difference in what they want to do.
And I come to give you the report that we showed up in record numbers that night. Didn't say a word, but just sit there and prayed among ourselves. And do you know that what they wanted to do, they changed their minds and didn't do it. Because of the prayers of the righteous availing much. I've seen prayers work in this church. Members sick. But prayer brought healing and prayer has brought deliverance. There's power in the prayers of the righteous when the church go in prayer. It works. Well, not to hold you too long. The text says that they all continued, all 120 of them, and they prayed consistently. Yeah. They didn't know how long they would have to wait. See, Jesus didn't tell them how long they was going to have to wait. He just told them to wait. He just told them to tarry in Jerusalem. They didn't know how long it had to be in the upper room. But they prayed consistently. They continued to persist in prayer, no matter how long they had to be where they were. They prayed till the Lord fulfilled his promise of the Holy Ghost. And that's important because we can't do the work of the Lord apart from prayer. We can't go out and witness if we haven't went in prayer first and got some direction from the Lord. Can't go out sharing with the community until we have went in prayer. And this is scripture because these men had been with Jesus for 3 long years. 24/7. And yet he tells them to wait. They had watched him heal the sick. They had watched him touch the lepers. They had watched him change one of the wine. But yet he says here, wait. Tarry. And if they had to wait, surely we need to wait until the Holy Ghost has come upon us after prayer meeting to God. They obeyed Jesus' command. And they did it immediately. They went willingly. They didn't say, how long, Lord, will we have to wait? Lord, how long you want us to tarry? But they went immediately because Luke's gospel says, now it came to pass, and while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were joyful. They had watched him ascend to heaven, and they were joyful because he had given them a promise, and they went immediately to the upper room and began to pray consistently. That's the call of God on his church today, to come together and seek his face in prayer. Not only did they pray consistently, but they prayed corporately. Now there's a time for individual prayer. But the Bible says man ought to always pray and pray without ceasing. And the Bible says in Thessalonians to be joyful always and pray continuously. And James say, one of you in trouble, you should pray. If you're in trouble this morning, James say, pray. If things are not going well with you this morning, James say, pray. If your pocket, your money is strained and your change is strained, James say, pray. Children giving you trouble, James say, pray. You giving yourself trouble, James say, pray. You know, we give ourselves trouble sometimes. We quote that scripture and say, he's a present help in a time of trouble, but you got to call on him. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, he know you're in trouble, but he want to hear from you. Yeah. Those of us that have children, you know your child is in trouble, but you want to hear from the child sometime. Yeah. 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 Pray continuously. They prayed cooperatively. They prayed as a body. They was one in Christ. There were no hidden agendas. No deceitful desires. No descending voice. Not a murmur of complaint. They was with one accord. And that's what the church needs today. We need to be honest with each other and tell it just like it is. Sometimes we're trying to do something, we'll just go along to get along. But if you have a question about what's happening, you ought to voice your opinion.
Amen.
That's cooperative coming together, and we ought to have enough God in us to hear your opinion. I may not agree with you, but we don't have to leave disagreeable. But I can listen to what you have to say, and it might be better the way you are saying it than the way I'm thinking it. That's working together. They were with one mind. All of the mind was on the Lord. They were praying with one accord. They were together constantly during these 10 days. They were purposely united, waiting on God's next move. And then you know, when you look at this text, Peter was no longer asking what John was doing. You know, when they were together on one occasion with Jesus, and Peter wanted to know what was going to happen to John or what have you, didn't have none of that. Peter did have a unauthorized conference meeting there when he replaced him, Judas. Thomas is no longer pouring cold water on things. John is no longer running ahead of Peter. Philip was no longer asking for signs. They were with one accord. Corporate prayer unites the church in the commitment to God's purpose.
Yeah.
And we are praying for God's purpose to be fulfilled. Prayed consistently.
Yeah.
Corporately. The body was coming together. As a time when the church needs to come together in prayer.
Yeah.
Not part of the reason why on Wednesday night we come together for prayer and Bible study, corporate prayer for the body. And yet there's intercessory prayer when we pray for one another.
Yes.
They gave themselves continuously to prayer. And that's important because the church was born out of a prayer meeting. And Jesus said when he cleaned the temple that his Father's house would be a house of prayer. So prayer is in order in the church. Prayer is in order in your life. If you are part of the church, prayer is important. Prayer is significant for us to live our lives. That's communicating. Let me say this to you. How long or how effective would your relationship be with your family if you didn't communicate? And how ineffective relationships are in families because of a lack of communication. The lack of communication, you don't know what I'm thinking about. You may have some assumptions, you may assume, but if you don't hear me, then I don't know what you're thinking about if I don't hear you. And when there is a lack of communication, there is very little relationship.
Amen.
Because you gotta have communication.